Let's take a look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. Okay, and we can give that to you this morning. Advance one more if you would, please. Here's what Hebrews 12, 1 says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. It says in that verse that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Go back. Don't need that yet. Thank you. Don't pay attention to that man behind the curtain. All right. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Who? What is he talking about? Well, in Hebrews 11, that Susan just a little while ago read part of it for us, we have a kind of a whole roll call of people that he's talking about. These folks are the great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 11 talks about Enoch and talks about Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel, and on the list goes, even to when he gets to the end of that chapter and he says, I don't even have time to tell you about all the people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who witnessed God's power, who experienced great things with God, and whose lives were recorded for us that we might know about them, that we might experience it with them, and that we might be inspired by their great example. They are the saints that he's talking about in the book of Hebrews. But there are, of course, millions of other saints to be added to their names since the Bible was written, since the book of Hebrews was written. The list goes on to include Saint Francis of Assisi, a man named Martin Luther, a man named Calvin, Zwingli, Knox, John Wesley. Oh, the list even includes your grandmother. It includes your parents. It includes the Christian friends that you had in the church that you grew up in who were the saints, who experienced God in their lives, who experienced His grace and power and shared that with you. Yeah, what is the church? If you were to go outside and point to the bricks that are on the building outside, we say, well, no, that's the church building. But the church is the saints. It's members, we call them, the people who make up the church. Those are the true bricks of our church. And the church, as we know it today, did not just appear out of thin air. We didn't create it. We didn't make it up. It is not a modern invention any more than the English language. We didn't invent that. Somebody gave it to us, and it's very, very useful. You take any science, any art, any field of knowledge in this world today, and where did it come from? Well, somebody learned something a long time ago, and they kept it and remembered it, and they passed it on to somebody else. He or she added their knowledge to it and developed it more. And in science, they passed that on to somebody else who discovered something, oh, that went with this over here. And the body of knowledge of science has built and gotten tremendously large, and it is growing by leaps and bounds day by day because somebody has passed it on to somebody else and added to it. In traditional agricultural societies where farming was the main task, it was the job of the older generation to pass on to the younger generation how this works, how to plant, when to plant, what's the best kind of plant to put in this soil? What's the best kind of fertilizer to use? How to weed? When to harvest? A whole body of knowledge has needed to be passed on for a farmer to know how to farm. Today, we almost our technology has kind of turned this around a little bit. You're 60 years old and you go to use the computer, and you go, hey, wait a minute, I'm stuck. And you call your six-year-old granddaughter over and say, hey, honey, help me with this, would you? That's kind of the way it is today. And you know that technology is almost making the younger have to teach the older. And that might lead people to conclude, well, that the church and its traditions have nothing to say to 2009. But that's not true. That's not true at all. The church of 2009 is built on the saints, all those who have gone before. So every time you read the Bible, you are standing on the Word of God as it has been communicated to and put together by and passed on by really thousands of men and women who've given us our Bible today. And we have to be grateful for the saints, for the Word of God. Every time you read a Sunday school quarterly, or you read a Christian book, or you read some article that was written by a Christian and sharing the Christian faith or perspective, you're benefiting from the work of other believers. Every time you open a hymnal and you sing the words and you follow the notes that have been created by composers who may have been dead for a long time now, but you're benefiting from the inspiration that God gave to them, and you're blessed by those saints, the composers of Christian hymns and music. And you see, it's All Saints Day, and we're here today to appreciate those people. And we're here today to be humbled. We're here today not to be so arrogant as to think, well, I came up with this faith, and I put this all together, and I'm creating my own spirituality. That's the mindset of a lot of Americans today. I'll just create my own spirituality, pick a little here, choose a little there, put it all together, and have my own little personal mishmash of faith. You can do that if you want to, but it's not necessarily wise or good. You see, here in America, we tend to worship the new and ignore the old. We're going to gravitate to Westchester Commons because that's a new shopping area, right? Okay? And all the new businesses that are springing up there, and we're going to ignore old downtown, you know, Miller and Rhodes, Tallheimer's. It ain't there no more, is it? But all those old warehouses and malls that are closing down, the thing to realize, though, is the new Richmond area is built on the old Richmond, and it's connected, too. And you can trace the stream of it there. Maybe it went from downtown Richmond to Willow Lawn, and then maybe it went from Willow Lawn to Cloverleaf Mall, and then from Cloverleaf Mall to Chesterfield Town Center, and now Westchester Commons. And we tend to think that that popped up on its own. No. You can trace the money. You can trace the work. You can trace the economic stream, or whatever you want to call it. It came from someplace else. And that is true of the church. Whatever way, shape, or form you find the church at work today, it's built on the saints who have gone before, not just in olden days, not just hundreds of years ago, but even within your own lifetime. That is those are the true bricks of the building of our church. The Bishop of Sweden once said, "Saints are those who make it easier for us to believe in God." And how true. The saints are those who make it easier for us to believe in God. And you can probably think of the saints who are in your life. Who is a good Christian friend, role model, mentor, somebody you looked up to, who, because of what they did, what they said, how kind they were, made it easier for you to believe in Jesus Christ, because you saw Jesus Christ in his or her life. That's a saint. Generations come, generations go. People stand up for Jesus, and then they pass away. A whole lot of our saints are across the street, aren't they? In the cemetery? And you know them personally, or you can tell stories about them, or you heard about them. They're across the street now. But it's kind of like, you ever be in a sports arena when they do the wave? You know, what do they do? One section stands up, waves their hands, and sits down, and the next section is waving their hands and sits down. And that's kind of like the Christian faith. It's being passed on. Today is our turn. It's our turn to stand up, raise our hands, praise the Lord, but there'll be a day when we sit down and go across the street or whatever. That's not depressing, really. That's just the way it is. Now, the more we know about the Bible, the more we know about the believers who lived before, the more we can discover what's truly important in this life and what can be redeeming in the world for us today. You know, I've not been to the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. Perhaps you have. I remember, though, when the various designs were being considered for the Vietnam War Memorial, and a great controversy arose over the design that was chosen. It was done by a young Asian woman, and rather than to have some tall, big, huge monuments or some big, great big statues, she submitted a plan whereby it would be this long wall of polished black granite, and it would have engraved upon it the names of all the soldiers, military people, who died in that conflict. It had them in the order in which these people served, in which these people died. One more picture here. Can you advance it for me, Brian, there? And the effect on visitors to this site, I understand, is absolutely profound, because people realize that when they are gazing on the names of these soldiers, at the same time, that polished black granite is reflecting their own image right back to them. The names of the dead are before them, and there they're also staring at the face of the living. Wow, that is wonderful symbolism. And that's really what we're doing on All Saints Day. We're reflecting back on our grandparents and our parents and our former pastors and our Sunday school teachers and our choir leaders and the deacons and the Christian friends and all those who handed the faith on to us and said, here, take this, kid, run with it. It's worth your time, money, interest, talent, energy. It's the most important thing in the world. Loving Jesus, living for Him. Here, take this. I appreciate what the saints have done for us. It is time for us to look back in gratitude and to say thank you. Thank you very much, saints, for what you've given to us. And then it is also important for us to look ahead and say, okay, what are we going to pass on to the next generation? What? Are we going to pass on to the church of 2020 or the church of 2030? What are we going to give them? They're our children now, or our grandchildren. Will they get anything from us? Will they get a love for the Bible, the Word of God? Will they get a passion for missions and sharing the gospel with other people? Will they get from us this solid conviction of the importance of God and His supremacy in life? Or are they going to get from us this, well, take it or leave it sort of attitude about Jesus? Yeah, if it fits your lifestyle, hey, that's okay. That's cool. Will they get apathy from us? Will they get a come to Jesus if you feel like it, tack God in on the end of your plans if you have time? What will they get? I hope they get a lot from us of what's good. Some good solid bricks to put in their building of faith. You know, what they get is up to you. It's really up to you. Let's see that they have the best that our faith in God has to offer, and let's keep the Bible central, and let's keep prayer as active, talking with God all the time and studying His Word together and individually and serving one another, doing for other people. And it's hopefully we'll be able to look on down decades from now, and the next generation will look back at us and say, thank you. Thank you for what you've given to us. We appreciate it a whole lot.